Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and nice try, Arby's, but I'm not falling for your burger schemes. You think I'm gonna fall for that, but I'm too smart for that. And with me, I have...
Hard to believe that Welcome to Rockville was only the second biggest shit show to take place at a NASCAR track this weekend. How fun.
And...
Did you know that good smell? That's the smell of a Kendrick album bomb.
I would try to describe the smell, but I'm wearing an N95 right now, so...
Yeah, but for real, it's actually good to see Kendrick doing that shit again.
Hell yeah.
Hard to believe we have a track like We Cry Together on the Billboard's Hot 100 right now.
Yeah.
You know what? I hope it'll stick, but I know it won't.
Yeah. We'll see what hangs around further and what does not. By the way, make sure to read our review of the album on SurrealResolution.com.
Yes.
Written by the one and only Mark. Anyway, here we are, episode 267. So, how's everyone's week been going?
It was, in some cases, an okay normal week. In other cases, not so much. So, short story. I'm going to keep real short. I lost over $600 on Friday to the state that I live in.
Fuck!
All because of some state tax issues that was not in my control. I owed some money a couple years back. I think it would have been last year. I arranged for them to take it out in, you know, installments. I did the form, like they said. I sent it in. I never heard back from them. And they never sent me anything. No emails, no letters, nothing. And then I get a letter. I look at my bank account and, yep, gone.
Damn.
Dude, what the fuck?
I am fine. I am not in the red. I'm just very annoyed.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Wasn't my fault. I did what they told me to do, but, ugh, whatever. Whatever. I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it. It's done. Whatever. Just... one of those weekends where everything just felt really overwhelming, so I just needed just sleep. I needed to sleep it off and watch basketball. And hockey. That's always fun.
All right, cool. Mark, what about you?
Let's see. Kind of exhausted, maybe because at work, and since I don't want to say the name of the company, since you already know where I work at, and I ain't gonna say this shit in recording. Let's just say one thing that's been very popular kind of fucking drained me.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not going to go any further than that. It's if you know, you know, and then again, y'all don't know where I work at, so I'm just going to keep it at that. And then I got to watch some stuff on Netflix, because like I check out that the Cuphead show. It's pretty fun. Like, it doesn't just on you, the old cartoon shit, which that's kind of funny. Like, yeah, kind of good. Although, will it be more? I mean, depending, since Netflix been fucking up the anime, the animation game lately.
Oh dear God!
Just don't watch Marmaduke under any circumstances.
I will. You think I'm gonna watch that?
I'm just saying.
I'm not that much of a masochist.
Look, there's some sad person listening right now that's tempted to try. Alex is just considering them in mind.
I mean, but no, not that. Although I will say I'm just gonna say this. Hulu got a thing where they do like a stream for $1 a month, and I was like, you want fuck it, I'll take it.
Yeah. That's not a bad deal.
Yeah. Also, add Disney Plus, because fuck it. At least, I mean, because fuck it, I mean, that costs like $2.99, but fuck it, it needs to get more than that, considering, well, I mean, is it like a Hulu now? I mean, what do they really, I mean, I got it because it was, you know, dirt cheap.
That's going to take a couple years before, like, NBC and other parties leave Hulu, so, but yeah, that's probably going to be the game plan going forward.
Yeah, and considering, I don't know, I mean, I freaking, I'll say I might cut the cord soon. I'm not saying, I mean, it ain't written in stone, but I don't know.
I'm just going to tell you, if you do that, you're not going to miss much. The upcoming fall TV season looks very, very...
Yeah, I heard.
Blech.
Very, very just fucked up, or just... Not give a shit about, except Elementary, which is really good. You should watch that.
Yes, that is the best show on broadcast TV right now, mostly because everything else is terrible.
Yeah,
I have not paid attention to broadcast in a while, so I'll just take your word for it.
Okay then.
Look, honestly, most of my viewing is just streaming, just whatever I want to watch, and the only time I really watch broadcast anything these days is MasterChef.
I mean, the only time I watch some broadcast stuff is, well, let's see, I mean, I got to watch Atlanta on FX, so that's done with.
That I need to catch up with.
I still catch on Toonami, but even though I just watch Session in Classroom and Lupin III, which I watched that both on Toonami, DVR, and HiDab because I'm used that HiDab account.
Oh, right. I do watch that as well, although I'm usually also watching the One Piece episodes.
And I don't know, that's pretty much it. Like, I use it as background noise when I have, like, with the Simpsons of Cooking in the Hill on FXX or whatever. It's background noise at this point. But who knows if it changes? Fuck, it changes.
Yeah, pretty much. And as for me, not really much of anything other than, you know, just the usual doldrums of work and shit. So, we're going to, of course, move on from the intro formalities all the way on to our usual weekly business, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes and market calendars for some new albums, all of that fun business. So, starting right here at the top, we're about a month off from hearing Archon, the newest album from singer-songwriter Zola Jesus. That's dropping June 24th, and we have a new single here from the project called The Fall. Now, compared to the last song we talked about, which had a lot of, like, sparse but dark atmosphere, this one is a bit more compositionally elaborate, introing with vocals and ominous droney pianos, before drums, bass, and chimes as well enter the mix, as well as more complicated vocal arrangements. It's got a solid enough tempo to it that kind of slows down partway through as the chimes and shit continue the melody throughout. It's a pretty solid enough song, definitely has me more interested to hear what the full picture of the project is going to be, so, yeah, good stuff. And, moving on to the next track here. So, back in 2002, those halcyon simpler days, the band Boris released an album called Heavy Rocks. Then in 2011, they released an album called Heavy Rocks. Now, we're coming up on 2022, which, fun fact, would be the 30th anniversary of the band's initial formation. They initially formed in 1992, and they've announced a brand new album following pretty soon after the one they released at the beginning of the year, W. And this new album is called Heavy Rocks. I guess if it works. So, yeah, the project is coming out August 12th, and we have the lead-off single here, She Is Burning. And this one's definitely got some energy to it. It's very up-tempo with a lot of thumping D-beats driving the song. And this really frenetic back and forth between, like, you know, guitar riffs and wacky lead solos and melodies and all that. Lots of, you know, chaotic random trumpets and horns and shit. Like, it's very spastic the way, you know, the guitar parts cut back and forth between each other. Especially considering that I think one of them is playing... It looks like it's a double neck, but it's a combination double neck where it's like one neck is a bass and the other neck is a guitar. That's what it looked like. It's hard to tell. This video was very, very weird. That doesn't help that it's shot overwhelmingly in vertical view, so you can't even watch it properly unless you're on your phone or something. But Yeah, it's a pretty wacky, weird kind of Boris song. I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, it's not so heavy on the blasting noise and doom feel. It's more focused on being, like, straight up rock and roll with some horns added in for good measure. It's not too shabby. I like it.
All right, cool. Now, moving on to the next track here. We're about a couple weeks, week and a half away from the band Astronoid releasing their newest album, Radiant Bloom, June 3rd, and as a reminder, their debut for 3Dot Records. And we have one last single to, you know, tide us over for now, unless they suddenly decide to drop a new single, like, the Wednesday, the week of, but, you know, what are the odds of that happening? The new track is called Human, and it's mostly vamping on this kind of steady 6-8 groove, one that's constantly being driven by the kick drums, and you get the solid mix of, like, you know, the expected mix of chugging guitar chords, maintaining some body to the song, mixed with those very serene, ethereal guitar melodies and vocals, just kind of soaring beautifully over everything with this kind of, you know, weightlessness, like, well, like a rocket ascending into space. It's, I don't know how to describe it other than it's very musically colorful. Like, if you turned Aurora Borealis or something like that into a song, not localized entirely within my kitchen, though. That'd be weird if Astronoid was in my kitchen.
Yeah, it would be. Is it weird to call a track like this pretty? Because that's what comes to mind here. This is just a pretty sounding song with its atmosphere and its sonic scope. It's very pleasant to the ears.
Yes, yes it is. Now, moving on to the next track here. It looks like we've got some new material from singer Rena Sawayama in the pipeline to tide us over while we wait for her eventual acting turn in the next major installment of John Wick. We have the announcement of a new album here. It's called Hold the Girl, due out September 2nd. And we have the lead single here, This Hell. And so I'm guessing this is some kind of glam cowboy burlesque thing. Like, honestly, listening to the song, the only reference point I have is that it's like a synthesis of Lady Gaga and Bon Jovi. Especially those really weird, like, synths that sound pretty much like the intro of Living on a Prayer. Like, the way those guitars are mixed and everything. And, of course, some nice, you know, 80s-style guitar lead soloing for good measure. I gotta dig it, though. It's catchy.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. Like, I kinda dig it. Like, alright.
Yeah,
I think it's memorable when she does it. I think it's memorable when she does it.
yeah. So lyrically, this is just a musical embodiment of the phrase "hoes mad," and it's a pretty fun club pop banger. It's very Lady Gaga-esque in its style and approach. So I'll give it. It's kind of easy to pick up that influence there. Got a little bit of that more industrial pop side, you know. Sort of going into the final section of the song. Other than that, this is just as straightforward a pop song as you can get from her, which is pleasant.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Now, I believe our good friend Mark here very explicitly said he wanted to set us up for the next track, so care to go on ahead?
All right. So, do you know what is crazy nowadays? Recent soundtrack announcements.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm gonna tangent a bit, cause last week we talked about, or at least a few weeks ago or whenever we talked about Doja Cat being on the under soundtrack to movie Elvis coming out, and today we had an announcement of who's gonna be on there, and apparently people like, let's see, Eminem and CeeLo Green. Kacey Musgraves, okay, it's mentioned, of course, Monoscan.
Oh, Nardo God.
Swae Lee and Diplo, and motherfucking Denzel Curry.
On Elvis?
Sorry, what?
On Elvis.
Yeah, Denzel, yes, on Elvis. I'm just like, huh? Okay. This is actually just like, what the fuck? Okay, what's going on, like, I guess it's a Baz Luhrmann soundtrack, because, like I said, he tends to He seems to put shit like, okay. And going to today's subject, let's say, what if there's a soundtrack that features the likes of Diana Ross, St. Vincent, Brockhampton, Kali Uchis, Kali Polachek, Thundercat, Phoebe Bridgers, Her, T.R. Wack, Verdi White from Earth and Fire, I think I said it right, and the RZA.
I would say that's a pretty solid mix of, you know, contemporary R&B and hip-hop acts with, you know, a couple of the quintessential staples of, you know, soul and disco and shit for good measure.
Okay. Okay, you like that. All right. Yeah, I like that shit, too. Because, what if I tell you that this is for the soundtrack of Minions, The Rise of Gru?
Mark, I was in a good mood right now, and then you uttered that sentence.
Okay, Mark, that's a good one. That's a good joke. No, seriously, what is this for?
No, really, it's for this movie. This movie, which, guess who's the creator for me for this, or at least the producer of this? Mr. Jack Antonoff. Okay.
You're blending a lot of words together and they're not making sense.
I'm confused by this shit too. It's like, you have a line that I really like. And okay, anyway, let's get a song. The song is from Diana Ross, featuring Tim Impala, who's also on the Elvis soundtrack as well.
Of course.
because I don't know, he needs work. And because they got the song turned to Sunshine, which it's basically like, you know, attempted to recreate a song that she did with Chic, recorded in 1980. And it got the, you know, the very shiny disco dance pop shit, which sounds like this very cheerful chorus. And and apparently both Anton and Parker play guitar, bass, and keyboards on the song. Although, I mean, it don't sound like anything Tim Impala. I mean, I'll say this: I mean, Diana Ross still sings her ass off. I mean, she's we're in the 70s. She still got it. I mean, the song sounds great. It's just that this is gonna be weird because, like, I look at the track listing for this. Thundercat's doing a version of Fly Like an Eagle.
Well then. Not something I knew I needed.
I want to hear that. But I was like, but it's like, okay, this is kind of very, very odd. It's like.
Like.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing here is, if you play this for someone out of context and, like, didn't tell them what it was for, the reaction would probably be fine. Like, it pretty much sounds every bit, it's everything you would want out of a good Diana Ross song. You know, she's still one of the untouchable queens of soul and disco for a reason. And, you know, even if Tame Impala's influence is kind of buried in there, I mean, it still sounds good. But then you bring up the biggest plague in the realm of animation, and my eyes just glaze over, like I'm staring into the abyss. The abyss stares back, and it says, banana.
Yeah, because illumination and music ain't exactly in good time, considering you make Pharrell do one of the most corniest songs he ever made, and made a PG. A piece of version of a Tyler, the Creator EP.
We live in the darkest timeline.
So some version like the song, but if I check the soundtrack, probably the movie, no.
I have yet to watch one of these movies from front to back, and I'm not about to start now. But anyway, time to move on to the last track here. And oh, hey, look at that. It's another album that's actually closing in pretty soon. About a month, in fact. Care to fill us in, Alex?
Yes, so here we have the third single from this new, possibly final, we don't know yet, album from Porcupine Tree, Closure Continuation, called Herd Culling. Hot off the heels of the tour and touring band edition announcements of Randy McSine of Lo-Fi Resistance fame on guitar, and Nathan Navarro of Devin Townsend, Empath album, and, well, YouTube.com/Nate Navarro fame on bass. Reportedly, there was some issues with John Wesley and Colin Edwin. I can't confirm that, but, yeah, sucks. The show goes on, though. Anyway, for this track, it's an interesting case, as it's a single edit, meaning we all have to wait for the album to get released to hear the full 7-minute cut. But for what we have here, it's a very straightforward track. It feels like it's taking inspiration from In Absentia and Deadwing, simple drop-D power chords with synth working out in the background, while Gavin Harrison pounds the drums, and especially in the chorus of Liar! Still the best sounding drums in the entire scene. I don't know what he does to do it, but it sounds great. It's a good, quick burst of energy. We've got less than a month left before this album drops, and yeah, I've already put my order in for that deluxe package. I'm in for the long haul.
Definitely a very, like, instant gratification kind of song. Nice balance of, you know, the very melodic verses and those straightforwardly heavy choruses. I also appreciate how lyrically vivid the track feels, painting the image of a group of people trying to fend off a herd of something that's attempting to invade their homes. It's a very vivid image. So, yeah, that pretty much does it for the new song discussions. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a couple of news items here, so stay tuned. And we're back. We only have two news topics to discuss here. The first involving everyone's favorite topic, prison. For some people it is. So, what exactly do we have to talk about in regards to prison? Well, there were two douchebags with weird connections to the music industry that were tragically released from prison early ahead of their release dates, one of which was the infamous pharma bro Martin Shkreli, a.k.a. the douchebag who bought that one Wu-Tang album, which then got into possession of the U.S. government, which then got sold off to NFT bros. And the other one, the one that's really more, I guess, the main focus for this brief little bit, do you all remember Billy McFarland? A.k.a. the guy who looks like if Ben Affleck was trying to play Seth MacFarlane? I'm sorry, that's just okay. What his face looks like to me.
Yeah, and to say to him, and a quote on the creator, everybody boo this nigga!
So, yeah, we got word that he was reportedly released, apparently released back on March 30th, and then transferred to a community confinement, you know, some kind of like a halfway house or restitution center. He's staying there until the end of August. His original sentence was 6 years after pleading guilty to wire fraud, which means he would have been released in 2024. You sure not too late to keep him there?
Oh.
Maybe that's 4 years.
Speaking of wire fraud, someone that a lot of people know recently got served with federal indictments for wire fraud. Who am I? It's Morphin time!
Oh, God.
Austin St. John, why did you have to get ropes up and all that stuff?
Look, I guess, what were the Power Rangers residuals not paying the bills anymore?
Well, they never got residuals anyway.
Oh, dear Ew. God.
Yeah, Time Saban was a cheap bastard. Yeah. Although I'm sure Jason David Frank's having a big old laugh about this because those two hate each other.
And how? But, yeah. McFarlane's out early. What the fuck does he do from here? We don't know. Part of me kind of hopes he tries to launch a spiritual successor to Firefest. Just for the bigger disaster and the lulls.
Ice Fist?
No, no, no. It's called Welcome to Rockville in Daytona Beach when it's storming.
Oh, dear God. Is that what happened?
Bands were canceled left and right. There was not a very well-thought evacuation plan for lightning storms. It was a big ol' shit show.
You know, that just sounds like a typical weekend in Florida. Don't ask me how I know these things.
You live there, we know.
I know why. Ugh. By the way, did you all know he tried to start a podcast while in prison? Called Dumpster Fire.
Okay. I will say how, but then again, it's prison. He's a millionaire. He can produce what he wanted there.
And apparently, trying to do the podcast got him launched in, got him, you know, sent to solitary.
Okay.
My question is still, how does he have the materials to record and release a podcast from prison?
Well,
who hosted him?
You know how minimum security prisons are. They're like hotels with libraries.
You know, now I'm just thinking about this really old story I heard once on What the Fuck Is Wrong With You, where these prisoners got together and they managed to somehow, like, steal enough components to build, like, two computers in their cells and use the guards' information to apply for a bunch of credit cards. And I'm like, one, how? Two, I'm legitimately impressed. The wild shit that happens in prison. Anyway, now let's move on to some good news. So, as you might have known during the era of this whole goddamn stupid pandemic, the Adult Swim Festival moved to a, you know, streaming, you know, thing for about a couple years, where, you know, their performances were streamed online, then left up on the YouTube channel for all to watch. Well, this year, the Adult Swim Festival is actually making a return to an actual proper in-person festival, but it's actually taking on a couple of little interesting little facets here. This year, it's taking place on the weekend of August 5th through August 7th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
And it's being marketed as the Adult Swim Festival Block Party. It's taking place across four separate venues across, you know, the stretch of area where it's being scheduled. And, yeah, so that's an interesting way to set up your festival. So let's see who exactly is scheduled. So, yeah, 15 shows across four venues, Fillmore Campus, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. As far as what's currently scheduled, your big headlining performers are, of course, Run the Jewels.
Nice.
Tierra Whack.
Also nice, because she's from there.
And Death Clock.
Ooh.
Army of the Doomstar. Army of the Doomstar.
It's, man, I just need a teaser. I need a teaser for that movie, man. And then, of course, from what you have here, live Adult Swim panels for the shows Rick and Morty, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and Smormu and Friends, a.k.a. Smiling Friends. Look, I was the one that texted Smormu to that number. Anybody who texted, no, I really, 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 really don't want Smormu, I don't like you. And you're not getting the number 15.
Look. We all know Glep is the best one of them all.
Spits. But, you also have other performances from, and this is just in alphabetical order, Anna Fabrega. Fabrega? Bia, B-I-A, Carmen Christopher, DJ Diamond Cuts, Flo Milli.
Oh, yeah.
There's a name I haven't heard in ever. Eshu Tune, parentheses Hannibal Buress. You got Hopalong, Jack Knight, Julessa, Julesy, I think. Joe Firestone, Maddie Smith, River L. Ramirez, RJD2, Sam...
That's the name I heard in a while.
I'm trying to remember where I heard that name. I don't remember where.
Yeah, his song, I think he did a song, he did the theme for Mad Men. Why I know that, I don't know. It just pops in my head like, oh yeah, this song, just look up that name in Mad Men theme, you'll find it.
All right, fair enough. You got Sam J, Snack Time Philly. I see what they did there. Spirit of the Beehive, Trackstar the DJ, and other stuff to be announced. Of course, the block party will also include stuff like games and attractions, food trucks, beer gardens, outdoor screenings, watch parties, exclusive premieres, giveaways, merch, and more.
That sounds kind of fun.
What I'm guessing this is, okay, so I remember a couple years back when, I think it was the second time that they ever did Adult Swim on the Green as a touring thing. And the first stop on that tour was actually in my neck of the woods in, you know, down around Miami Beach, I think. Or somewhere in the downtown area. And I actually went, and, you know, they had the big lawn area, tons of game setup, merch booths. There was Zach Fox, before we knew about him sticking his dick in a bag of Doritos. And it was just, like, a goddamn blast. All kinds of Adult Swim goodies. Even getting to... For me, still, the highlight of that entire night was getting to watch the Season 7 premiere of The Venture Brothers way before I think it was even formally announced. That was just... Mwah. A+. So, this kind of sounds like it's going to be, like, that kind of vibe, or, like, you know, the kind of setups they usually have at San Diego Comic-Con, just, you know, with bands and, you know, stand-up sets and shit. So, who wants to pay for us to get tickets to Philadelphia?
Anybody?
Please? So, yeah, we're obviously going to keep an eye out for a more full lineup announcement, but in the meantime, there's something to plan and look forward to. Anyway, with that out of the way, we're going to, that's pretty much the end of the news topic, so we're going to move on to our last little thing here. That is the new album releases for the week of May 27th, 2022, which is barely much.
Meager.
So, the only ones of note here, at least that I think anyone would recognize the name, so, this one's actually a release coming out the day you're listening to this, May 25th, but we have a new album from the Japanese rock band Man With a Mission, those are the guys that wear the wolf masks, for the record, Break and Cross the Walls 2. There's a new project from Def Leppard with Diamond Star Halos, for all you boomers out there. We have a new project from alternative rock band Wilco with Cruel Country. And
we hipsters.
And we have the latest, what the hell is even happening in this weird sci-fi prog saga anymore album from Coheed and Cambria with Vaxis 2, A Window of the Waking Mind. Now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I like to just spout off about sporting events, and sometimes movies. I haven't decided if I'm going to be brave enough to watch that fucking Rescue Rangers movie. If I get a hair up my ass, I might. You never know.
Do you really have to, though? Like, we already know Ugly Sonic is in there. What else do we need to be watching for?
I mean, Randy Marsh is in there in a spa with a towel on. For some reason.
Oh, dear God.
I don't get it either.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, on Twitter, my telemedia, on my site, my911.com. Yeah, that's it. Go on.
All right, fair enough. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, roberts@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel, so subscribe. Hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SurrealResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all of that good, good business. And be sure to jump into our Discord as well, so you can post about, you know, whatever trash movies you're watching. But you could also post about the good ones. You know, that's an option. But, yeah, that pretty much does it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And perhaps you might be hearing some extra things going on with the site in certain places. Keep an eye out on, you know, the socials. So, yeah, until next time. Why do they call it oven when you oven the cold food of out hot eat the food?